All right, thank you so much for listening to Orrworm. I am on 3 to 4 on Thursdays. You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh, and I hope everyone has a wonderful day. Thank you so much for tuning in.
WRCT Pittsburgh. No one is as excited about flaming cheese as we are.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section and after Dad's back injury. They helped when you were in pain, and you held on to them, just in case. But did you know holding on to unused opioids puts your family at risk? Trouble with opioids can start at home with unused medicines, such as pills, patches, and syrups. You can remove the risk and protect your family. Find out how at www.fda.gov/drugdisposal.
Thank you. You're listening to a very special interview edition of Audible Sounds on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. That's right, today I sit down with Game Chomps, the Philly-based chiptune and lo-fi label. But before we do that, we got some bin tracks to get through. Here's Chocolate Puma with Another Dimension.
Another dimension.
You're listening to Audible Sounds, and if you're just now joining us, today is our Audible interview with Game Chops, the Philly-based lo-fi and chiptune label. But first, WRCT is supported by Tartan Inc. Tartan Inc. is a full-service copy and print shop located in University Cohan Center on Carnegie Mellon University campus. Services provided by the Copy Center include black and white and textured papers, including cover stock, specialty papers such as gloss paper, resume quality paper, and large format poster paper. They also offer binding and finishing options that include cutting, laminating, folding, padding, stapling, collating, and comb, thermal, and coil binding. Tartan Inc. is also an authorized ship and drop-off site for UPS shipping. For more information, visit their website at cmu.edu/tartaninc or call 412-268-4828. If you are interested in underwriting for WRCT, then you can email pr@wrct.org for more information about promotional exchanges and other partnership opportunities. Here now is my interview with Ellie Rocks from Game Chops.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another Audible interview. I've sat down with Ellie Rocks from Game Chops. Hello, Ellie.
Hi, nice to meet you. Nice to be here. Thank you for having me on.
A little before I hit record, you mentioned the word chiptune. I wanted to ask you, for the uninitiated, what is chiptune?
So, chiptune comes in many flavors, but basically it's sort of the 8-bit music that was the soundtrack and backbone of a lot of the early video games that, you know, people who are generally our age have played throughout their lives as children. So it's both nostalgic and then also it's still current because a lot of these game franchises are still producing.
I am a massive fan of chiptune, and it is very contemporaneous, and it's also very nostalgic. So what do you think it is about chiptune that it's such a thriving genre that people are still getting so much out of? These songs that have been around for about 30 years, but they've kind of become standards in a way for higher genre of music.
Well, you know, I think, as you said, it's nostalgic, but it's also the music that a lot of people spend a lot of their time, you know, not even necessarily consciously consuming, that it's sort of this white noise throughout their lives. And then, you know, they hear a remix of it and it just lights something up for them. And it's, I think chiptune at its base is just very, like, happy. You know, the Mario music is so upbeat and fun and just energetic. And I don't think I've ever heard a Mario song and, like, not bopped along to it. Or Zelda.
Nintendo's got a lot of bangers.
Yeah. Yeah, they, Nintendo is a large part of our catalog. The thing that really kicked off the growth of the channel at this point, we released a track with Holder called Spider Dance. Undertale just became this tidal wave. People fell in love with the music, people fell in love with the game, and especially because the game has such a, you know, it's almost like a Commodore aesthetic, the way it's pixelized. And, you know, so I think that was really part of its charm. And that track currently on our YouTube is sitting around 44 million, which is, it's like our top performing track, I think. But, you know, that sort of kicked off the ball for us to then create more music with more producers and then curate producers, because, you know, we have a couple of regulars that we produce with, like Helliant or Coffee Date. DJ Cutman does all sorts. And even like the Sonic movie that came out a couple years ago, we have a track on the soundtrack, which is I still cannot conceive of it. You know, my sister went to see the movie and she sent me a picture of the track at the credits at the end where they do all the soundtrack credits, and, you know, seeing Game Chops like roll up there, I was just like, what?
So did you get that email? Did you get to when they we need some tracks for our movie?
So spoke to Chris, and then Chris sent me, I don't recall, I think he sent me a picture of the check when it came in, just like the letterhead, not the, you know, and I was just like, is that real? He goes, yeah, I've been working on some stuff. Zelda and Chill is kind of became our vinyl flagship, and you know, now we have there's three of them, 1, 2, and 3, the trilogy, if you will.
Nice.
And they have their like spiritual sibling albums. We have Mario and Chill. I'm probably gonna get guff for how I say that. We have Poke and Chill and a lot of other Vibecraft stuff like that. So it really kind of cemented the label as far as video game covers and, you know, sort of getting past the idea that it's not like real music and showing people, like, especially when we incorporated lo-fi. Chiptune is incredible and will always have, you know, a chiptune bass. But the lo-fi, you know, we just happened to start doing it when it was on the rise a little bit. And now there's a lot of other lo-fi video game music channels. But
I'll say that it feels like as soon as I discovered kind of chiptune lo-fi, and it immediately there was a million different options.
Which
overnight.
Is funny because I remember, gosh, okay, I'm gonna date myself here, in like 1998 when I was in high school, and I was listening to these albums my friend introduced me to called Verve Remixed, and it was all old jazz and blues songs that had been lo-fi remixed with beats and stuff like that. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is great, but nobody else is listening to it. It was, you know, it was not crazy popular. It was just this thing that me and my music nerd friends liked. Same thing kind of with trip hop. Like, that was, if you were into it, you were into it. And, like, there was plenty to have. But it wasn't one of those things that is, you know, common. I have run into people in the wild. It's so strange. I also get flagged, like, when I'm in a Discord server or something, it says Game Chops in my bio. So people will be like, wait, do you mean like Game Chops? And I'm just like, yes, that's my job. It's really amazing. We had one of our producers. I mean, he is his own powerhouse, Mega Ram. He actually got a track on Kevin Smith's Clerks 3 soundtrack.
Interesting yeah. choice.
Yeah, Megaran has such a vast repertoire. We put out an entire Materia album. He basically wrote a rap opera about the storyline of Final Fantasy.
It's amazing. Which,
but it is the only time I've fully understood the storyline. So,
what rhymes with Sephiroth?
Oh, God. I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm sure Megaran would know that. I used to write. I don't write raps though, despite listening to a ton of it.
So I don't mind telling you that Zelda and Chill pretty much helped me get through COVID.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Felt like that was lo-fi was the only type of music I could digest for all of 2020. It's interesting that you said that was something that you were kind of trying out, that it was a little different than, say, chiptune. What did this... Was it somebody that came to you with the lo-fi, or is this a deliberate choice of Game Shops? What,
It was sort of just a slow evolution over time, because we started trying it out and prior to Zelda and Chill, and then, you know, we decided to take a chance on doing a full lo-fi album with Mikkel. And he just nailed it. He knocked it out of the park, and people really resonated with it. And even people who don't listen to, traditionally would listen to video game music, will listen to and appreciate the Zelda and Chill series. And, you know, I think it was just all of the right things were happening at the right time, and it evolved into, it's, lo-fi is a big part of our label. We still do other genres, even so far as anime stuff. We have some Legend of Korra remixes. So, you know, we're branching out a little bit, but we want to stay sort of in the zone of video games and those soundtracks, and even new soundtracks, you know, like the Bloodborne games. We have some of those. Yeah, so it's a really fun mix, and it never gets boring.
Let me ask you this. Genres come up a lot on our show, and you said you have other genres. What are some more obscure genres that you might want to share?
So we have a sub-imprint of the label that we haven't produced anything for in quite some time, but it's there, called Jozu. And there's a bunch of nightcore and stuff like that, like hyper-pop sort of anime music, and a lot of it is like loud, fast, like banging, you know, like Dance Dance Revolution kind of tracks. That I would have to say is probably one of the most niche genres. But even now, like it when we were originating it, it was pretty niche, but it feels like it's gotten a lot more popular, which is great. I love to see sort of all of the music kind of weaving into other genres, and I love the fact that Chris is willing to explore and encourages our producers to find their signature sounds.
Now, as a layman, I have to ask, you're playing music that's been written by other people a couple decades ago. What's the licensing process like? How, if I do my remix of a Zelda song and I bring it to you, what's that process like?
So we obtain mechanical licenses for the tracks, and basically it's akin to a cover license. So when somebody releases a cover of a song, you know, Michael Bublé has, I don't know if he has any original songs. He might do all standards.
I don't know if he does either, actually, but...
Yeah, but standards are a thing that we actually have, Chris and Button Masher put out super standards earlier this year, or maybe end of last year. So basically, it's not using any of the original instruments or sounds. We don't sample. All of the stuff is reproduced by the artists in their own style. And then Chris masters it. Earlier today, we had a release that might actually still be happening. We had a Mario and Chill piano album. 35 or 36 tracks. And you know, for the videos, we used to do videos with gameplay in the background, and we had people that we paid to play the game and send us footage for that, or, you know, make something. But lately, we've been doing more visualizer-style videos, especially because people aren't often looking at the screen when they listen to a lot of our stuff. We have a live stream 24/7 that's called Video Game Study Lounge, And so that is probably one of our most popular playlists, and it just runs all the time, so people can tune in. There's always at least like 100 or so people in the chat. There's people that have become friends through that chat that know each other, have known each other for years now. It's generally a pretty good energy in there. There was a while where YouTube was getting inundated with bots, and that was the thing for a while, but thankfully that's since stopped, and now it's just regular people hanging out in there.
Is there a particular video game that Game Chops has not covered that you would like to see or hear?
That's a great question. Honestly, it would be cool to have a remix of the Doom soundtrack.
Oh, yes. I like that one.
Yeah, I would just like, because it's so the opposite of the spectrum. Like, it's like hard and grungy guitars and I think Trent Reznor did that, but I'm not sure. I know he did a video game soundtrack. I feel like it was Doom, but I'm not 100% on that.
I'd be down to see that collab, personally. Yeah. Get some chiptune thrash.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. Most people who play games and have played on PC know that music, I feel.
Here's a heady question for you. Where do you see the genre of music, let's say 10, 15 years from now? Because it is something that is very rooted in our generation's childhood. It is something that I always think about anytime I play the latest Mario game, where it's both nostalgic, but it's also current. It's not outdated by any standard. And it's just something I'm very curious about. Where do you see, like, future generations?
I think because of the composers that are not just, you know, the original Nintendo or Zelda like composers, but there's also my contemporaries who are actually on video game soundtracks in addition to producing for us, or they're creating their own video game soundtracks. We had Sean Mesa, who did a Mother 4 soundtrack with us a couple years back, and that was a fan project. So I really think that it's evergreen as far as the genre, and I think it's going to continue to grow because the Switch is still very much a thing. People are still playing all of those games, and they're still making those games. And there's so much, especially, you know, Mario, for instance, there's such a range to choose from between, like, the Galaxy games, the Odyssey, the Paper Mario, the you know, all the different things. There's the choices are endless, and the limits are only on as far as the producer, really.
I'm a Nintendo guy, and I do love just how openly happy people are, and I like that it's a very fan-driven community.
100% community. I think the fan community is the most important aspect of video game music, because if we don't have the fan community, then we don't have anybody supporting us or, you know, listening to our stuff, sharing it with people. You know, we have a Discord for the community, and some of the mods have started like a role play game for the whole server. There's a channel for it now, and it's just so cool. It's like they're building their own little communities within our community, and it's very sweet and heartwarming.
The future depends on teachers. Every day, teachers are shaping our tomorrows, starting their students on journeys that will change the course of history. Right now, in a classroom somewhere in the United States, there's a teacher inspiring a future scientist who will make preventing pandemics their life's work, sharpening the mind of an aspiring environmentalist who will help combat climate change, and generating possibilities for a student who will be the first in their family to graduate college. It all starts with teachers who meet challenges with creativity, who reinvent education for the future, who work towards a school system that lifts up every child, regardless of race, income, or zip code, and who enable the full potential of our students, our communities, and our country. Explore a career that leaves a legacy you can be proud of. Shape the future. Teach. Learn more and receive free support at teach.org.
You're listening to my special Audible interview with Ellie Rocks, the manager of Game Chops. A little later in the interview, I asked Ellie about what tracks Game Chops had coming up.
So we have a couple albums. Helliant is next month in February. Helliant is going to release Legend of Chillwave. We have Joshua Morse going to be doing an album called Zelda Grooves. That's out in March. We have Sweet Boy Kyle, February, coming out with Avatar and Chill. Like I was saying before, we do step out of the video game circle every now and then, and that's a great example of that. His music is so complimentary to those soundtracks, but I think also, again, it comes down to the original compositions are just so universal in a way that everybody, especially, it doesn't have lyrics, so everybody speaks the language. It's a really beautiful thing, and it fosters a really wonderful community and artists. And we are very lucky to have who we have, and you know, we get to see more and more of what we can do over the years. Like, we, for a long time, probably 5 years or so, the company was just me and Chris. And like freelancing producers would come in, do a track here, do a track there. We didn't have people we were regularly doing albums with. That evolved, I think, probably over COVID, is when Chris really was able to sort of take a look at where things were and who we were working with and who we wanted to work with more. And he really fostered a lot of Tommy and Evelyn. A lot of their music was encouraged so heavily by Chris. He is everyone's, like, he's the first fan when it comes to our producers. I think that's part of why it resonates with people. It's because we're not just sharing things to churn out something. Everybody is putting love and care into what they're making, especially, you know, Evelyn plays the strings for some of her songs, live strings, which is so emotive and so, so touching. And now we have the solo piano stuff that we've been doing in our clubbed imprint. And it's just solo piano. It's two brothers. They go by two names with us. They either go by Super Lo-Fi 64 or Super Piano 64, and there's like slightly different musical stylings for each side of that, but they're both piano, and it's played live, and they do their own arrangements, and then they ship it off to Chris, and he masters it, and then they get to hang out today with a couple hundred people and watch them react live to what they're listening to.
Love that. And you mentioned you know, qualifying chiptune and lo-fi is real music, but when you have people putting arrangements like this, it's music that was said to be not real music, but now it's being performed by musicians and played with instruments and then getting remixed. So I think that's what more evidence you need that it is real music.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the fact that people are so passionate about it is what has helped to bring that to the fore. And the piano covers are just so gorgeous. And it is a great compliment to the lo-fi, because they can serve different purposes. They can also, they're just really beautiful things to have on. And you don't necessarily have to interact with it in any way, and it's just there. And you know, a lot of people have said that it helps with their productivity. I definitely have zoned out and just gotten into like a workflow while I'm listening to our stuff. I feel like there was a sort of a stigma, stigma for a couple of years, because people are like, oh, that's not real music. And like you said, people are playing it on live instruments.
Yeah.
What else? What more real do you need?
The Zelda Symphony, well, I can't say that word, orchestra sells out every year here in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta book that a year in advance if you want to get seats.
They do, yeah, they do that here in Philly a couple times a year, and it's always, always sold out. And everybody I've talked to that's been to them, I haven't gotten a chance to go, I do want to. But everybody I've talked to said it's so great. Everybody knows the music. Everybody's just enthralled and listening to it and enjoying the experience. And I think it's so great that you can go and listen to an orchestra perform Zelda music.
Yeah. Okay. I think this is my final question. Let's say I'm a high school kid and I decide I really want to get into doing this. What's your advice to that person? Where do they start?
I mean, I think they start with figuring out what kind of music they're interested in making. And then from there, you know, once they start compiling tracks, or even if they're just doing instrumentals or beats or whatever, and they share it, you don't need money to do it. Like, you can get a free SoundCloud account or whatever and just start sharing your music. And, you know, there's so many ways to get your sound out into the world now. Again, YouTube, you can just start a free YouTube channel and start putting videos on. They don't even have to have any. It can be a still image, you know? And as long as you're putting your heart into it, it'll find its audience.
That's a good message.
It's one of those things where you have to decide that that's what you want to do, and it's just a matter of upstarting. And once you start getting your work out into the world, people will start hearing it, and then people will start sharing it if they like it, and then from there, you can sort of write your own ticket.
Okay, cool. Well, it's been lovely chatting with you, Ellie. Thank you so much.
It's been great. And again, thank you for reaching out to us.
Of course. Hey, thank you for responding, because you don't have to. I'm just some random guy in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I used to be a booking agent, so I get that. I used to just like calling people like, hey, you don't know me. do you want to do the thing? Yeah, I did that to Matthew Mercer back at MAGFest a decade ago. Yeah, I emailed him and I was like, hey, sir, I'm going to be at MAGFest. Would you like to have an interview? And he said yes, because he wasn't super famous yet.
Nice. And what was he like?
Oh my God, he was so nice. He is the warmest, I was at ease immediately, even though I was so nervous because I was like, oh my gosh, it's Matthew Mercer. He's like the Disney prince of D&D. So I was, you know, all nervous, and he was so chill, so nice. He talked to me for like over an hour. Definitely didn't have to do that in the middle of a convention. And yeah, it was just a really great experience. And that's sort of MAGFest is what brought all of this into my life as far as the video game music and stuff like that.
I love that.
But yeah, it was really great talking with you, and I really look forward to hearing the show.
And that was my interview with Ellie Rocks from Game Chops. They can be found online anywhere you consume music. That's YouTube, Spotify, and Bandcamp. Some of the artists featured on today's episode have been Holder, DJ Cutman, Helliant, Coffee Date, Sweet Boy Kyle, and Michael Lo-Fi. Coming up on the show, we've got some Afro-Funk as well as some experimental electronic music. Here's Lilac by Fling.
I know a way she'll never go.
couch dancing, funky, deep, psychedelic, electronic music, and that. Couch Dancing with DJ Firefly, Wednesday afternoons 3 to 5 p.m. and re-airing 1 to 3 p.m. on Fridays on WRCT Pittsburgh.
Quelle idée. De la vie folie. bako ko fe ki la vinye. Bona te oro.
Fula kulumenta nzululu wa mono 맛둥지 우리 모임.
8 miles high. 8 miles high, and when you touch down, you'll find it's stranger than known. Tune in to 8 miles high with Nick and Andy every Tuesday at 9 p.m.
In the primordial days, when Earth whispered its first secrets, my ancestors watched the dance of life begin. Single cells, the unsung pioneers, blossomed in ancient oceans, their existence as humble as a raindrop in a storm. Yet, from these droplets of life, a tempest grew. The Cambrian explosion. Fast forward millions of years, an underwater waltz of evolution played out. Creatures of bizarre shapes and fantastical designs roamed the depths. Armor-clad trilobites scuttled across the seabed, while enigmatic Anomalocaris ruled as the ocean's first titans. It was a time of unbridled creativity in life's grand tapestry. Now, as I stroll through the modern world, bustling and brimming with terrestrial life, I often pause and ponder. What if those ancient mariners had never ventured from their aquatic cradle? Would our world be a seascape of intelligent, deep-dwelling beings, navigating the endless blue instead of the open sky? Sometimes, as I watch the waves caress the shore, I can't help but wonder. Perhaps, in another twist of fate's kaleidoscope, we might have been better off staying in those ancient, nurturing waters.
Hey everyone! Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Audible Sounds. Before we go, just a reminder that you can catch the show every Thursday at 4 p.m. And if you enjoyed today's Audible interview, then I'm happy to announce that next week we'll be having yet another interview with the founder of Dungeons Deep. the Ohio-based Dungeon Synth label. So if you enjoy chiptune music, who knows, maybe you'll also enjoy some Dungeon Synth. And that's next week, February 15th, 4 p.m., right here on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh. We're going to go out with a track I simply cannot get enough of. This is Delmer Darien with the track White Dawn Fog, featuring Anna B. Savage. I hope you all enjoy. Until next time.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you. For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You are listening to 88.3 FM, WRCT Pittsburgh, and streaming online at wrct.org.
I'm sure you're familiar with the kind of necktie parties we hold out here in the West. And the kind where the horse runs from underneath the guest of honor is the kind I like the best. And the side ain't rumored to be very pretty. a man hang from a tree. You know everybody turns their heads so as not to look. Everybody except me. I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty. I came to this town almost 15 years ago, and I've been here since that time. But it's just been in the past 5 years or so that I've had this job of mine. For 5 years ago, some outlaws killed my wife and children. That had its effect on my mind. So when the sheriff offered me the dreaded job of hangman, I said, that suits me fine. Now I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty. You hear from some prophet or some preacher, 'cause I know that revenge is sweet. And I can't help but grin at every single outlaw when all of a sudden there's no horse under his feet. And you probably think I'm strange, you might think that I'm disgusting, but it's my job, I handle it with pride. I've nothing left to live for since the passing of my family. My heart died with them, so did my mind. Now I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty. I'm the guy who slaps the horse, and I sure enjoy my duty. The guy who slaps the horse, that last guy was sure a beauty.
Now I never was one to worry much. I never could find the Midas touch. I take what comes and do my best, and don't worry about the rest. I'll never become a millionaire. No fancy cars, no Perrier. I wake each day with a smile on my face, and I join the human race.